Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover...
better than anything you've ever seen before, and it's unlike any mallet you've ever seen before.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it has never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
I've got good news for you, and I've got good news for you.
All right, good news is great. I can always begin with good news.
I've got good news, and I've got good news for you. All right, good news. Well, good news and who knows news, okay?
you're already backtracking.
I'm already downgrading my optimism on my thing. My great news for you. It could be great news for one of us. So, all right, first thing, I'm at like a stage one on my poop meter.
Man. All right.
So, okay. I might have to run out of here at some point.
All right, good to know.
Yep, and the other bit of good news is I housed a gigantic edible 15 minutes ago, a fast-acting one. So, if I stop making sense in about 15 to 30 minutes into this podcast, that might be a contributing factor. It's only because we're recording this on a Friday night and not, you know, whatever.
It's the Jointery after dark,
baby. Oh, yeah. We're doing this because you're going to the fucking Super Bowl, bro.
Yeah, man. I leave tomorrow morning. For Vegas, the baby.
Niners, you're going to be at the Super Bowl with the Niners, bro.
I'm not going to be at the game, first off. I'm going to work the whole week prior, and then I come home on the Saturday before the game, and then I come home and watch the game here. Fuck going to the game. I don't want to be anywhere near that place during the game. Like, no thank you. Like,
yeah.
Nope. Way too fucking many people, and it's way too crazy.
And I bet you, like, a bunch of people are listening to this, thinking of themselves like, man, Luke should ask him right now, why wouldn't you want to be there for the Super Bowl? But I don't care, so let's move on. So, is there going to be good food?
Yeah. They'll be.
Or is it like Papa John's at 11 o'clock every night?
No, yeah, I'm going to be eating at the food court in the casino most of the time. You know, if I can avoid leaving the casino, and I don't gamble, so if I can avoid leaving my room for most of the time, I'll be happy. I'm gonna be so tired. We work fucking long ass days. I'm up at like 4:30 to get there by 6. We're staying in the hotel this year, so I might not have to get up.
Oh, didn't you like rent a house last year?
Yeah, we were so this might be a little different. I might not have to stay. I might have to get up so early this time. So that'll be nice. Regardless, I'm gone for a week. That's why we're recording today. And, you know, I don't want to be at the Super Bowl because it's just too crazy. It's just too fucking crazy. Too many people. But
I mean, it's in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, it already has too many people. And Vegas attracts the creme de la creme of humans. So,
And I don't want to be in Vegas. I mean, you know, I why I don't want to be in Vegas. I don't like Las Vegas. I have history there, and
yes,
we don't need to get into that. But I don't really want to be there to begin with. And now I have to spend a week in the same hotel where I had an incident in. So yeah, so
you know, it's like going out of town and having to stay at an ex girlfriend's house.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it'll probably be fine, right? But fuck that shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, so I'll be gone. But, you know, that's why we're doing this. We do this for you guys. We do this. We're coming to you live for you. Big news today, though. Big
really?
News today.
What's the news?
It's a sad day for, for
fuck,
us.
Oh, fuck, man.
And, We're not gonna be sad. It's a celebration of life. We lost Carl Weathers today, and the reason I'm bringing him up is because he's been in everything, bro. And he's been in so many things that I know you loved. He's been in so many things that I loved. True. You know what I mean? He's, you know, and might have the best like entrance to a movie scene ever in Rocky IV. This is the song that the James. You remember he's jumping around in those red, white, and blue pants, the hat, the top hat with the little mini jacket with the tails, you know, and dancing around with James Brown stuff.
Yeah, imagine, man. It makes me think, like, imagine people, like, dressing like a professional wrestler was a style.
Yeah. That was just like... But, dude, like, I mean, he's been in so many things. Predator, Rocky, you know, he's been in a ton of TV shows. Most recently, he's been in something that you've been super stoked on. Remember he was in, was it Mando? Or what was the show he was in?
He's in The Mandalorian.
Yeah, Mandalorian. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy who was running the city, the planet, really, that Mando spent so much time on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just,
He gave the Mandalorians a home. Goddamn, yeah. This is two Star Wars people that have fucking died, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's also the guy, Rey, whatever, who is a fucking badass in Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, dude... Do you remember how fit he? I mean, dude, this guy was in like the him and Stallone were like in the prime shape of their lives in these movies. I mean, just like,
dude, I could stop eating altogether right now, and I still wouldn't be in that kind of shape by the end of the year.
No,
I respect that. Like how you know people could commit themselves to that. You know,
how many years do you think you would have to fast for to get the Apollo Creed body? I'm just saying.
I have no idea, dude. It would be a lot. It would be a lot. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, man.
Wow, dude, we've hit like four topics in like the first 6 minutes. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if we keep this pace.
I don't think we will, but.
But yeah, it's sad he's gone.
Yeah, 76 years old. And I just found out yesterday, I was listening to something that said, the average male age life expectancy, what do you think it is? Right now, 70? In America.
70?
It's 76 is the average male. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm an overachiever in that, but the odds are not great.
That means middle age is like, what, 36 now? Like, dude, at 36.
I mean, that's crazy. Ellie has been fucking... giving me a hard time this last week, telling me how she keeps talking about how the olden times, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She goes, you know, like 2000, the olden times. I was like, fuck you, man.
Oh, man.
She also says that middle age is everything between 10 and 70 or 80. So
she says middle age is anything between 10 and 70?
No, or 80. Oh. I think she said.
Well, anyways, you know, I thought that was a sad day today. Carl Weathers, 76.
It is.
Thanks for everything you did, my man. Thanks for entertaining us for all these years. I wanted to look at his IMDb and see like what other movies and stuff we're forgetting about. Cause...
Dude, I bet you he's been acting nonstop. IMDb.
Hold on. I'm looking at it right now.
I bet you...
Oh, dude, we haven't even talked about how his most epic role as Chubbs in fucking Happy Gilmore. I mean, come on, dude. Like,
right.
My buddies are they're savages, bro. Like we got the news. They got the text that he passed away. And within like 30 seconds, there was like so many, like four or five posts from my buddies, like of the Chubbs when he's sitting at the piano playing, like showing both hands, you know, like one of them put the remember when he dies in Rocky IV and they flash to his trainer and his trainer's like screaming like, no. And then there's like meme of him like it going zooming in and zooming in and zooming in over and over again. Just like, damn, dude.
You know what his first credit was on his IMDb?
What?
Magnum Force. It was one of those Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
You know, Magnaforce.
Yeah, Dirty Harry. Yeah, I remember Magnaforce.
He was an instructor, a demonstrator.
1973, it looks like.
Yeah. He was in Kung Fu. He was in SWAT, $6 Million Man. Dear God.
All the Rocky movies, obviously.
Rocky, Serpico.
Dude. Yeah, he did.
Death Hunt.
I remember him in Little Nicky.
Action Jackson. Remember Action Jackson?
Oh, dude, I totally remember Action Jackson. That's so funny. God.
He was a Dangerous Passion, a TV movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously, you know.
Little Nicky. He's in a number of Adam Sandler ones.
Yeah. His best roles, obviously, were Apollo and, or my favorite, I should say, not his best. Who am I to judge? But my favorite roles of his are obviously Happy Gilmore, Chubbs. He's so good at that. You're going to knock that shit off, and you're going to concentrate on golf.
It's all in the hips.
It's all in the hips. Oh, it's all in the hips.
Dude, all right, I'm going to change something. So I want to get your thought on something, okay?
I wouldn't call it
crucial, but I was rolling down the street today. On the way home from lunch, I went to lunch with Titty Nick and Alma today.
Oh, right? No way. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And Titty Nick has created easily the most insane mallet I've ever seen. I don't know if he's posted it or not, right? But this mallet he made for somebody, I can't even say who he made it for. When you see it, you're going to probably shit your pants. So, literally.
Better than his quilted.
And better than anything you've ever seen before. And it's unlike any mallet you've ever seen before. It's 5 pounds, bro. Anyways, so I'm riding home from having lunch at them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I see this dude looks like a pimp ass motherfucker sitting on the corner. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that, he's sitting there and he is in a gigantic fur coat. Right.
Yeah.
And I could tell by the way he was looking. And it's not that cold in Chicago. It's only like in the mid-30s, right? So like he's in this big-ass fucking coat, fur coat. And all I could think of myself when I rolled past this guy was, do you think, like, what is the connection between pimps and fur coats, right? Like did was there like a meeting amongst pimps where they're like, hey, you know, like fur coats are going to be our thing. Like we're going to own it, right? I mean, because, like, if you see somebody in a fur coat, how often, if they're super fly in a fur coat, do you think, like, is that guy a pimp? Like, because for me, it's a very high, you don't see a man in a fur coat often.
You don't see it often. Out here, especially, you don't see it often. There's not many fur coats out here. I assume in winter climates, you see more fur coats, but, yeah.
You see fur-lined things, but this guy was, like, right there on a, like, if a big fucking Cadillac rolled up. And he hopped into the back seat, I'd be like 100% pimp. Right?
Did he have a cane?
Like, I didn't see a cane. But like, does it make it easier to find employees that way? Like, you know, like I spent most of my ride home thinking about this.
It's like, right? It's like the pimp uniform 101, right? You got to have the fur coat. You know, if you can get yourself a cane, you know, that's definitely a plus.
Dude, what was that movie? Oh God, this is gonna fucking bug the shit out of me. Oh man, God damn it! I can't think of the guy's name.
You gotta give me more than that.
I know. Hold on. Okay, I'm gonna go. Wait, look, this is gonna bother me. Now I gotta do this.
All I can picture in my head right now is Seinfeld, Kramer walking down the street in the Technicolor dream coat. Hold on.
I'm searching for All About the Benjamins, right? Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Mike Epps. Okay, so it was Mike Epps.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on. And let's see, it was a movie. I'm gonna be able to find it in a second.
God, that was a sad movie, dude. Ugh.
What?
Is that? Oh wait, am I thinking of the same movie? Is this the one where they're
no, this is a comedy movie.
Oh. What's the one I'm thinking of? The one where they go to Vietnam and they come back and they're bank robbers or they're robbing something. They paint their faces white.
Oh.
What the fuck movie was that?
It was How High. That's what it was.
Oh, How High. Okay.
Yes. He played a pimp in that movie, right? And he had his assistant pimp, right? Okay. And they spent a considerable amount of this movie talking about pimping, right? And how pimps need to be pimping and shit.
Yeah. The idea that you start out as an assistant pimp is funny to me.
You're assistant pimp until you get to pimping. And you're all disrespect the pimp, right?
How do you know when you've crossed over from assistant pimp to pimp? I mean, I'm just curious.
You know, I don't know. But like an assistant pimp is probably an halfway decent job, right?
Yeah, you probably get the hose, you know, stress. You don't gotta deal with the money probably. You know what I mean? You're the collector, maybe being the assistant pimp means you're the muscle.
You know I can imagine there's a lot of downsides to pimping, right?
Oh, well, I mean, it's illegal. That's one.
Yeah, well, that's the top one. You're also exploiting women. That's way up there. But if you can get past those two, yeah. Right, there's still other downsides.
The first two major ones.
If you get past it's illegal and it's immoral, let's talk about the rest, right?
Let's talk about what are the upsides then?
Jesus. I mean, it's got to be the money and the hose, right?
I guess it is the money and the hose. Yeah.
You know,
oh my God.
Probably easy access to any drugs you want, you know? Like, you know, you can probably, you're probably extorting people and you probably got like other side hustles. So, like, you know, you could diversify your income. Right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, this is what I was thinking about today.
Ooh. Where'd you have lunch?
This fried chicken joint. It was good. The other thing I was thinking about the other day, right? I saw this video, right? Where this girl with TikTok video, she was talking about how she's just going to some random person's house where she had four messages with them because they had a Facebook Marketplace ad, and she wants to buy what they got, right? And she's like, maybe it's real. Maybe I'm going to get kidnapped. And she was talking about it, right? And yeah. I started thinking about all the sketchy encounters I've ever had doing Craigslist-style transactions, right? And not a lot of them were way too bad. But I tell you about the time we went to go get some piece of furniture that Jackie wanted, and there was a little girl in the house that was completely naked. Did I tell you about that?
I think you might have told me about that. You've told me so many stories about crazy things, so it's hard to keep them all in.
Well, it's
the Rolodex.
Like, talking about like crazy stories, right? Like I was at that sales conference last week, right?
Yeah,
and like we went out to have a drink with this one sales manager. Right. And, you know, we were like, hey, like, you know, what's your craziest sales story? Because like everybody who's in sales or most people who've been in sales or are in sales, like their first one or two sales jobs were pretty fucking wild. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, you got to go where they're going to hire you. You know,
yeah. You got to start out with. Exactly. It's like starting out in the minors. It's like starting in the minors.
And like mine was at a radio station. Right. My first real sales job. And his was at some other company. I don't want to get too far into it because look, in the off chance one of those guys hears me, he doesn't need me sharing his shit. He can share it on his own. But I realized when he told me his sketchiest sales job story that it wouldn't have made the top five on my list, right?
Yeah.
And I realized that I not all of my career was filled with good decisions. You know.
I think we have three seasons of evidence here.
I mean,
look, that we can point to.
We're like 20 years, bro. It's, you know, like, did I tell you about Like, I've had guns pulled on me twice, like at a radio sales job. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My favorite story is the one where you ended up in the hood by yourself. Oh,
fuck that shit, dude. Dude, like, that company was so fucking crazy, man. When I first started going to, like they made us work out of Hammond, Indiana, even though it was a Chicago radio station. And, like, they had fucking one phone with four lines for the whole sales department. And there was, like, eight salespeople. So, like, you'd have to sit there if you wanted to make calls. Like, you wait till somebody gets off the phone. Because, like, this was still back when you had to pay for minutes on your cell phone. Nobody was fucking using their cell phones. Fuck that. And they had one fax machine for the whole fucking building. And it was encased in a plexiglass box with a lock on it. So that way the general manager would have a chance to look at all incoming fax messages, right, before anybody had a chance to look at them, because sometimes there was sensitive information faxed over. And I'm like, yo, man, like, I got clients sending orders over, and I could see them through the plexiglass box. Could you get somebody to open this shit up so I could get it out, right? You know, because email wasn't that big a thing. You know, I'm fucking old. So at least for this company, it wasn't.
It sounds like a sales work release program. Like, something like, you guys are in a sharing phones. Everything's under lock and key. Like,
dude, I had this. So, like, when we finally got, like, a Chicago office, right? I had this one manager, okay? And he was such a fucking shady motherfucker. He calls me in his office one day, and he's like, yo, Luke. He's like, come check this out. I'm like, okay. He flips open a fucking photo book, right? And it's like the kind of one you'd, like, take to pick pictures and slide them underneath the plastic, you know?
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all pictures of some woman in lingerie on a bed, right? And I'm like, is that your lady? You know, because I knew he was married, had kids and shit. He's like, no. I'm like, and this book had like 50 pictures at least.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is that? He goes, oh, she's a model. You don't know my hobby is professional photography? And I'm like, do you like do weddings or portrait sessions or what? He's like, no, I don't have any gigs or anything like that. And I'm like, so you hired a model, and your wife, did you? I'm not going to ask. Okay, cool. Right. And I'm like, that's great, man. You know, and I, like, my whole family is in photography. He was a horrible photographer. Right.
That's the scam. Like, that's the scam, though.
Dude, he's always had a scam going. So, like, I leave, you know, I'm like, all right, man. Like, well, another time I went in his office, and he was, like, in his undershirt, which was like a wife beater, you know, and he was, like, working on computer shit. He's like, I'm just hot. And I'm like, well, a client is here to see you right now. Do you want to put your shirt out, or, like, you're good? Right.
Yeah.
Like, he was all the time. So eventually this guy, because he's so fucking shady, he knew they were going to fire him. Right.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me. He goes, I would just want you to know that if they take me down, I'm taking you down with me. That's what he said to me. I was
down
like,
where? For what?
Like, I don't fucking know. Like, I was like, what are you talking about? You're going to take me down. I'm like, dude, I'm in my, like, 20s. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take you down with me. Like, if I'm going down, you're going down. And I'm like, well, first of all, I can't help you in that situation. I am, like, a sales guy here. I'm not a manager. I didn't even, what the fuck are you talking about? Why are they firing you? You know, and he's like, and then, dude, they fired him. And he did try to take me down, but my hero stepped in, this dude named Carvel. And he told them that they would be complete fucking idiots if they fired me. So they didn't fire me, and it worked out for everybody.
What was the basis of him trying to take you down?
Like, I don't know. He thought it was my fault that we weren't selling more. And I'm like, well, first of all, you fucking are delusional about how much we should be selling. So,
yeah,
like, it's completely unrealistic. So, yeah, that was great.
I'm sure he was fine. He had a, you know, his aspiring model photography thing on the side that I'm sure.
Yeah, he had a fallback position. I looked him up recently.
What a scam, dude. Oh, you, okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I looked him up recently to see what he was doing, right?
Yeah.
Without any surprise, he is in real estate. So,
yeah.
Well, like, everybody's fallback job. Well, I can't do this. Like, might as well do real estate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in real estate now. That guy's a fucking turd. And then, like, eventually I get like talk to this motherfuckers after like 6 years of work, 4 years of working there to make me a manager. Cause I'm like, if I could just get into this management meeting, right, I could change this company. You know, yeah. I could be the hero that salespeople need. Right. This is where my head was at. And I got into this meeting. In this meeting, like all the department heads would be in this meeting, and they'd be in this meeting for 3 hours once a week, right? And I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about in there for 3 hours, right? Yeah. And so I finally get in this room, right? And they first start talking about their weekends, and everybody goes around the fucking table and talks about their weekend. And then they do a prayer, right? Because the company had a religious owner, right? So they, okay. and the general manager was religious, so he starts with prayer. I'm like looking at the person next to me like, I am not holding your fucking hand. I'm just telling you right now. I'm Jewish and no, right? You cannot fucking make me do any of this, right? You know? And like, dude, eventually, after working there, I'm like, it was such a fucking waste of time. They told me, okay, they had this all-day strategy session, okay? My part of the strategy session or presentation was literally one slide. And they said to us, bring your own snacks, right? So you know what I did? I went out and bought a briefcase and filled it completely with snacks, okay? Everything you could possibly ever want in a fucking briefcase full of snacks, okay? And throughout this entire meeting, okay, people would be sitting there talking, and I would pull the briefcase out slowly, and I'd put it on the conference room, and I'd unclick the things like, you know, the little latches, you know? Okay. Yeah. And I'd open it up, and I'd like look around, and like the people next to me would like lean over and be like, holy shit, man. Like, what the fuck, man? Can I have some of that? I'm like, no, you were told to bring your own fucking snacks.
You're like the Hunter S. Thompson of the fucking snacks right now.
I could have made serious money, dude. Nobody thought that shit was serious. Dude, and I fucking was pulling out like amazing snack after amazing snack, bro. Like, they're like, is there anything work related in there? I'm like, yeah, the one page you guys asked me to fucking present. It's fine. Like, I don't even need to fucking pull it out. Like, I got the snacks. Right. So like I put in the amount of seriousness that I was my respect level. I felt we were like on the same page, you know?
Yeah.
The fucking guy who like was the general manager would like eat like salmon for every meal, and he would have these black liquid in vials with droppers and like drop them in water and drink them. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? You know, these guys, they were fucking.
What is that?
To wear a mock turtleneck, okay? Right? With just the one that looked like a bib, okay? Because he wanted to protect his neck, but he didn't want to wear a scarf, right? And a yellow hard hat with a light in the wintertime when he would walk around downtown Chicago because he was nervous that ice might fall off a building and hit him in the head, right?
Hey, I guess that's like, what you have to worry about there, I guess. I'm
like, dude, you're so religious. Don't you think Jesus is going to look out for you on that? And he's like, that's not funny. And eventually, like in that sales meeting, They asked me, they're like, Brother Lucas, would you like to lead the prayer today? I'm like, yeah, I'd be happy to. I'm like, oh, great. I go, I pray this meeting is as short as possible. Amen. And fucking everybody in the room was like, trying not to laugh. And they're like, that's funny. Okay. You know, Jana, you do the meeting now. And I'm like, why would you even fucking ask me? You know, I don't even want to be here to begin with. I regret every decision that led me to being in this fucking room. Like, fuck you guys. So
that's so funny.
I had a lot of shitty bosses, but those guys were fucking insane. What was your shittiest boss you ever had?
I worked at a music store for an older couple in Fullerton called Moe's House of Music. And Mo was the wife, and she was this mean old lady, man. She was just like, she was just a short little, you know, stocky, just mean old woman. And she used to, and her husband Roger, and they had these three little dogs that they would bring with them. And one of them like could barely walk. And she was just a total raging bitch. And she was so mean to everybody. And there's this man there that worked there who, she used to just teach, like this guy had been working there for like 25 years, and he was like their little bitch. And I used to feel so bad for him because she would just ride this guy, ride him. And just like, I don't know, she was just a mean old lady, man. And like, I don't really have any funny stories from there because I hated my time there so much, but
see,
I did.
That's the difference. Like me personally, when I am in a job that I hate, I'm going to make it as ridiculous as possible. Whereas you're just like, I'm just going to sit here and be angry.
I was only there for like 6 months. And, I don't know. She was just a mean lady. I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't had a lot of mean bosses in my lifetime. But
dumb bosses.
Yeah. Well, my boss, when I first hired into ESPN, the boss, the guy that worked there, Bill Linhart, he'll never listen to this podcast. I'm not worried. He was ridiculous, man. He was one of those guys who would, he got the job and he would come to events, right? And he would bring his own personal camera, like his own professional, like camera, mm-hmm. lens, tripod, monopod. You know, he would bring his whole setup to these professional, like sporting events and stuff. And he would mm-hmm. use his access to, like, he'd be like, he'd show up to like, oh, I'm here to, you know, check on the whatever. And he'd have his full camera set up with him. You know what I mean? He'd walk mm-hmm. in and just like take full advantage of the situation and take photos and stuff. But it reminded me, like, did you ever see, you probably never, I don't know if you ever watched, did you ever watch Band of Brothers? The War?
I don't remember it, but I remember watching it.
There was this one like colonel or whatever he was like a captain or something in one of the battles who would always just disappear and like go off and like take naps and stuff. And like, he'd just show up and like talk. And then they'd be like, all right, Lieutenant or whatever. And he'd just be like, like yawn. And he'd like walk away and like, they'd find him napping or something. That's what this guy kind of reminded me of. Like, he would show up to these events. Like, he was like supposed to be there to like check on stuff, but he would just clearly be there just to take photos and stuff. I don't know, it was really funny. Like, he was kind of a dumbass.
You're lucky, man. I have one of those at almost every job I've ever worked.
Just like somebody who's gaming the system completely.
Like either shady gaming it, dude. Yeah. My first job out of college, okay,
yeah,
was at WTLC in Indianapolis. They had this manager named Paul and Noreen, and Noreen was like my direct boss, right? And Paul was like the big boss. And Paul would get bored or sober, and he would send me across the street, one of his sales guys, to go buy him liquor. Like, hey, Luke, go across the street, give me a bottle of Hennessy. I'm like, I mean, I got sales calls to make. You sure? He's like, here's $20. Go get me some Hennessy. I'm like, all right, man. You know, and then like the boss underneath her, she was fucking crazy. She threatened me multiple times. While I was working there, and after she got fired, she threatened me like at a media event.
Threatened your life or threatened you like to lose your job?
She's like, you fucking two-faced motherfucker. She goes, if I get the chance to fuck you over, I'm gonna fuck you over so hard.
Oh, man.
I was like, well, it is a pleasure to see you too. How have you been? She's like, you could fucking suck a dick, you asshole. I'm like, I'm not quite sure why you feel that way about me, but hey, good for you. Anyways, nice seeing you. And I just walked off. You know, like, people don't ever get the rise out of me or the excitement that like they're hoping to when they come at me like that. But it's because I've had so many people come at me, and I'm not sure at all why. I have no idea. So,
oh yeah, I can see,
dude. Yeah,
pleasure.
Dude, it was so funny about that radio station, right? The owner of the general manager kept taking trade deals, right? And just keeping the shit. So like, he would do trade deals at golf courses he would get sets of clubs, and he would get fucking dinners, and like, they were supposed to be used for the sales team to entertain clients, but he would just keep all that shit.
Ooh.
And I was like, and everybody knew it, you know? And I was like, okay. And then when they got bought out, right, they fired these people immediately, right? Which I think is part of why she blamed me for this shit. And so we sit there, and it was a hip-hop station, right? And I was one of the only white people that worked there. I was definitely the only white guy there who was successful. And so, like, the new company that bought it, right, we sit down in a conference room. They're like, we're not interviewing the sales department. you know, and I was like, fuck it, this is my first year out of college. And I'm like, sounds like you're interviewing us, right?
Yeah.
So, which that's what they were doing. And so I sit down with them, right? And like, they're like, how you doing today, Luke? I'm like, good, good. How are you? They're like, great, great. So what's it like being a white guy working at a black radio station? That was like their first question. And I was like, and honest God, I looked at him, I go, why are you asking me that? And they're like, well, we asked the other white people here and they said to ask you. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? What? Like, it's fine. I like working here. I love the music and everybody's great. And they're just like, and you're cool with everything. I'm like, yeah. I go on 38th Street where it's shady as fuck. I go, I got hood clients. I got fucking, I'm trying to get some other people that are less hoodie, you know? And they're just like, okay. They're like, less and hoodie. Like, I walk out of the room and like, I look back and like, they're both like looking at each other like, well, we should keep him because he doesn't know any better, too stupid to fucking tell, or like, you know, I don't know. I think they were all a little bit racist, but it's whatever, you know? It was Indiana in like the early in the mid-90s, dude. It's like, you know, or late 90s. Like mid-90s. They were definitely, you know, that was that was normal there, you know. Dude, they had a whole part of town. They were like, Luke, just do not go in this part of town. And I'm like, why? They're like, because the KKK is there. And you're a Jewish guy selling black radio. How do you think that's gonna go for you?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm like, okay. Sounds reasonable to me. I'll just avoid of, you know, 20% of the entire city because they're extra racist. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that seems like an easy, that seems like an easy one to follow. Dude, you know,
when I was at Q101, right? I had this boss, right? His name was Ron. Okay. But he wanted everyone to call him Ronnie. Okay.
Okay.
You ever meet anyone named Ron and they wanted to be called Ronnie?
I'm not like anybody that wasn't like 10 years old.
Dude, this motherfucker and I did not get along at all, right? He asked me, he interviewed his entire sales team, and it wasn't even a buyout. He was just the new manager, right? Anytime anyone goes, we're not interviewing the sales department. You're interviewing the sales department, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's call it is. So this motherfucker, right? In the interview, he's like, how important is it that you and I are friends? And I was like, well, if I hit my numbers, we're going to be friends by default, right?
Yeah.
That's not the answer anyone else gave him. Everyone else was like, if we were friends, and it would be an opportunity for us to do more work together. I'm like, oh, God. So this guy immediately had it out for me, and I took him on one fucking appointment. I worked 6 months to get an appointment with Honda, the car company, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I get down there, get the appointment. The girl who's the buyer is 23 years old, something like that. And Ron took the majority of the fucking sales call, talked about how he loves cocaine, and one of his hobbies is throwing lighters at homeless people from the balcony in his alley. He had like a balcony that overlooked an alley. So he would stand on there, and when homeless people would be like in the alley taking a piss or something, he would throw lighters at them. And that was like his hobby. I'm like, well, thanks, Ron. I'm never going to get to see this client ever again. Thank you for that help. You're my manager. You fuck. Do you remember we're here to try to sell some advertising? Like, we're selling air to a car company. Can you fucking shut the fuck up for like 5 minutes? Like, oh my God, dude.
Where's he getting all these lighters to throw?
I don't know, man. Like, Costco really wasn't a big deal back then. So who knows, man? Maybe he was just at the gas station every day fucking buying lighters. I don't know.
So strange.
Dude, I don't understand how like other people haven't had these experiences. At this other job, when I was at the Hispanic station, they hired this one guy who had a horrible reputation. And our first night hanging together, he tells me that if I just do everything he says, I will be successful. And I'm like, I'm your sales manager. I got here because I am successful. But okay.
You got to love his bravado. You got to love his confidence.
Dude, that's the motherfucker who made me fire Mexican Shrek, which was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my whole life. So fuck
did
him.
You say Mexican Shrek?
Yeah, I didn't tell you about Mexican Shrek.
I don't know how we haven't talked about that, but I don't think we have.
I think that was kicking in. So
I'm over here. I can't even see you. My eye, I've been hitting my pen so much. I can't even, like, my eyes are, like, barely open right now.
I feel like my neck is twitching, to be honest with you. So I'm working at
it. I think we need some music right now. It's fucking,
dude, I think this podcast has been going for like 2 hours.
No, we're only at 39 minutes.
This can't be, we can't play this. This is the wrapping it up music.
Yeah. No, the wrapping it up music is this one.
All right, right. Yeah. We need a third song.
We do need a third song. We need this. This is too slow. I need to ditch this one.
Dude, although, you look high as fuck. I just need to tell you that. I can't even see your eyes anymore.
Sometimes when you talk about sad stuff, I like me how to play this music. But
well, this isn't sad. This is hilarious.
I need to replace this with something else. The edible is definitely in. The pen is definitely kicking in because I'm having fun playing with
my
button.
I wish I had my pen. It would accelerate the process.
Should we listen to this again? This is fun.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about
Mexican Shrek. So I had this job, okay, where I was a salesman. My first legit sales manager job, and it was at a standalone regional Mexican radio station, okay? And I did not speak Spanish, okay? But like 99% of our clients spoke English. And like my sales department frequently, when they were annoyed with what I was telling them, would stop speaking English, right?
Yeah,
there was this motherfucker
on
staff.
It's an effective tool.
Yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, it only helped me learn Spanish. So so they had the sales guy there that everybody referred to as Mexican Shrek because he looked like Shrek. Like, he had the same body shape. He was huge, right? And he talked like, I don't know if there's things like called like Mexican gypsies, but if there was, he would be like a Mexican gypsy. Right?
Yeah.
He would be like, Lucas, man, that's a cool question. Like, this is the way you talk, right? Okay. Lucas. Dude, one time he came in my office, right? And this guy was really, he wasn't smart, right? And he used to fax, as soon as he got a company's information, he would just stand at the fax machine and fax some shit over and over and over again, right? And it was like copies of copies. So by the time it came to the fax, you couldn't even read what it said, right? And he fucking sent so many fax machines to this boxing promoter in London that the guy emailed Julio a computer virus that shut the radio station down. Right? Okay. So he emails him and it sends something.
Julio is Mexican Shrek?
Yeah. So the email's Mexican Shrek, and he opens the email, and it's a computer virus. And it infected the entire radio station's network. Right, and on everybody's computer screens, everyone's locked out, and on everyone's screens, it says, "Until you have Julio, Mexican Shrek, stop faxing me. I will not remove this virus." Right, and that's what it said. And they had his fucking phone number on there. Okay,
yeah.
So like, he was not in a great spot when I got to managing this guy, you know. And like, I felt bad for him, man. He wasn't that bright. He's a really nice guy, but he's not fucking the brightest dude. One night, I sold him the tie that I had hanging off the back of my door, right? He walked in, said it was a nice tie. I sold it for $10. Another time, he came by. He's like, Lucas. He's like, you have a cigarette? And I was like, I don't smoke. And why do you? You don't smoke. Why do you need a cigarette? He's like, for my ear. My ear.
Have you told me this before?
Oh, yeah,
I remember this.
Ear clog guy, right?
Yeah.
Fucking stuck a cigarette in his ear, right?
But then, I remember that.
I had to fucking tell you about me firing him?
I think you might have now.
We didn't understand what the concept of being fired was?
Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, my God. The fucking my boss is like, and to wrap up Thursday, I'm going to be out of the office tomorrow. Luke, fire Mexican Shrek. Bye. And I'm like, fuck, man?
Oh, my God,
dude,
I've been
in these types of situations so many times. I've forgotten more than I can tell. I had this one boss who was awesome that he fucking completely humiliated a guy in front of me and as a teaching lesson for me.
Wait, did he for firing? He fired him in front of you?
It was a client, dude. It's fucking... Dude, I was working at
the client got fired? Or the client fired... What happened?
Alright, so I was working with a guy named Dom, okay?
Yeah.
And I was his sales manager. This is at Univision. And he's like, hey, man. He's like, when this client comes in today, before they get their makeup on to go do record their stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You need to bring them to my office.
Right? Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, like, cool, yeah, no problem. So I tell the receptionist, I go, because I'm not going to sit there and wait for this guy for an hour, right? I'm like, hey, when he gets here, just stop him and tell him that he needs to talk to me before he does anything else. He comes in, receptionist is like, hey, you need to talk to Luke. Guy goes, I don't got time for it. I got to get my makeup. I got to start recording. I'll talk to him after. Just fucking buzzes right past her. Doesn't even do shit. Fucking. He paid for like a segment on a TV station, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she calls me and she's like, yo, this guy came through and I tried to stop him, but he didn't listen to me. So I go into Dom's office and I'm like, Dom, like, here's what happened. Can we just talk to him after he records his shit? And apparently he had been, well, I it's part of the story, so I'll just keep going. And Dom looks at me. Dom was a scary guy, right? I wasn't normally scared of him because I respected him so much, but he was definitely like a mob boss, right? And he looks me straight in the face. And he goes, are you going to go down there and get him or am I? And I was like, I'll be right back. I got to go clean the shit out of my shorts. And then I'll go get that guy and I'll come right back here. You know? So I stopped the guy. I'm like, dude, you got to come in. He's like, I don't got time. I'm like, you cannot. I'm not letting you fucking do shit in here. You have to come with me. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, what's this about? I'm like, I've told you as much as I know, right? So I walk this guy back to Dom's office, okay? This is a lawyer. He sits fucking down, and Dom just starts yelling at him. And I'm behind the guy, right? Wondering how much more I can shit my pants than I have already. He's yelling at this guy, and it's basically the guy was insinuating that he would take legal action against the company unless he got what he wanted. And Dom was basically like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
Right? He goes, do you understand the amount of lawyers I have at my disposal? He goes, we will fuck you up. And he just goes off on this guy. And eventually, I saw the guy like shrink in the chair, you know? And so they end the thing and with Dominic telling him basically how it's going to go from here on out, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, and Dom's like, by the way, you don't have time to record today now, so take it. Have a nice day. And he tells me, he's like, can you walk him out? I'm like, sure. So I walk this guy out. We didn't say two fucking words until we hit the door. I'm like, well, I'll just check in with you tomorrow. How's that sound? And he was like, yeah, man, that sounds fine. And he just left, right?
Yeah.
And I go back to Dom's office, and he's like, how'd you think that went? I'm like, oh, no. And he looks at me, and I asked him that question. I'm like, so how'd you think that meeting went, Dom? He was like, great. I'm like, how? Like, you just fucking yelled at him and then kicked him out of the station. And this is a big client for the station. And he was like, he goes, well, I had to take a stand. He goes, and I empowered you. So that's a good thing. And I'm like, excuse me, you what? He goes, yeah, I empowered you. I go, what the fuck do you mean? He goes, you think the next time that guy has a problem with the radio station, he's going to want to talk to me or talk to you? And I was I was like, oh. And he was like, yeah. He goes, and you could always say, hey, if you're not happy with this, we can have another call with Dom.
Yeah.
Right?
He made himself the bad, bad cop.
We could go to the guy you're terrified of now. How's that sound? You know?
Yeah,
I love that fucking guy. I was so mad when he fucking moved to another company, man. I was like, dude, I learned so much from that guy. He was he was just not taking shit from anybody. He fucking rolled over everybody. And I was like, I didn't even know what you're doing was an option. Like, this is great.
What's your best getting fired story?
Man,
I gotta remix this song. I think it's a little too hot, a little too loud.
Yeah.
I feel like you're having to talk over it.
You should have a loud and a soft one. You know?
Yeah. Well, I just need to take it back into Lumafusion and just drop it down a little bit.
Yeah. it'd be cool if you could adjust the audio. Well, I'll tell you. My best getting fired story, right, was in high school because.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of my career jobs, anytime I thought there was a chance I could get fired, right? I just got another job before they got a chance to fire me. Almost getting fired story, right, was when that fucking guy who made me fire Mexican Shrek, right? He told the HR manager, he's like, hey, in 2 weeks, we're going to demote Luke from a sales manager to a salesperson because we have to downsize our sales management team, right? But we don't want to lose him. So we're just going to have to figure out a way to set him up in the sales department, right? Yeah. And I was like, and the HR manager told me, she's like, hey, I like you more than the general manager. So I want to tell you what his plan is. And if you can figure some shit out, do what you do. I'm like, what? So I'm like, well, fuck you, man. I called up my buddy who was running a different station. And I said, hey, I go, here's what's going on. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get a sales job. You got any openings? He's like, just so happens I have this huge account list. He goes, would you like to come over here and manage it? And I was like, yeah. He goes, here's what I need. And I'm like, he told me some other shit. And I'm like, okay. And I had the job within a day, right?
Yeah.
And then I went to Puerto Rico for a week and I came back and they're like, okay, we have to talk to you about something. And I knew they were going to fucking tell me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
said,
yeah, I have to tell you something too. I quit. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, I took a job somewhere else and good luck. I wish you the best. And they both kind of like fucking looked at each other like, what the fuck just happened? And I just walked out. I was like, I'm not even giving you guys 2 weeks. So eat a dick.
So that lady saved your ass. She gave you a heads up, which allowed Marcia. You the opportunity. And Marcia.
Way to go, Marcia.
Yeah.
She was Bolivian or some shit. So
yay for Marcia.
What is your fucking getting fired story?
I don't know if I've told you this one before, but I used to work at King's Fish House, which is a restaurant.
Okay.
I didn't have a car.
That's funny because you don't really like seafood.
I hate seafood. And that was the hardest part about getting the job is you have to go through a tasting menu, right?
Okay.
So like the whole time before I'm studying the menu, I have three buddies who work there, right? This is when I was playing in the bands and stuff. And yeah. Two of my buddies who were in the band with me played there or worked there. And then another one of our friends. And I didn't have a car at the time. I was, you know, they basically talked their boss into like giving me an interview. I get the job. I pass the interview. I get the job. And then you have to learn the whole menu. And then you go through a tasting menu where you have to like taste everything so you can, which was a fucking nightmare, man. Cause I, the fish and stuff wasn't as bad, but when it came to like the fucking like oysters and the scallops and stuff like that, man, that stuff was brutal to get down. Like I was literally gagging at the table and I was, imagine you're at the table. You're at a menu.
Were you a waiter there?
I was a waiter. Yeah. Yeah. So
like, imagine what would you do when people would fucking ask you what's good there?
I would tell them.
I hate seafood.
I wouldn't tell them that, man. I'm a better salesman than that. I would, you know, take recommendations from other servers and, you know, it just, you know, I would sell the shit, sell the specials. Like that's what we're supposed to be pushing here, man. We're supposed to be pushing the specials. Anyways. I wasn't the best server. I was great with the tables. You know what I mean? Like I did really well with the customers as far as like interaction and like talking to them. And like, everybody loved me for that. I wasn't the best at like, you know, always, you know, I couldn't like, I wasn't one of those guys who could just remember like somebody's order, you know, like I don't understand how people do that. Like they'll take a whole order and remember every single, like no way I could do that. And so, you know, I made a few mistakes here and there. But the reason I got fired is because I missed a ride with my buddy forgot to pick me up for work. My buddy he texted me. He's like, hey man, where are you? And I'm like, I'm at home. You forgot to pick me up. And he's like, oh shit. Cause we were partying the night before and I asked him to come by and get me and he forgot. And so, put me on thin ice with my boss. And then I got to work the next day and I was, in the back getting soup right? Mm-hmm. And picking up other orders, and we would take clam chowder out to the table and like with crackers. And I walked out the cracker. I was so busy. I was in the weeds, as they say, in server term. I don't know if you've ever been a server.
Yeah.
Server term.
I've never been a server, but I've watched enough movies with servers.
Yeah. So
it shows.
And it's busy, and I'm fucking slammed, and it's like the middle of lunch, and I'm like going back and forth with orders and stuff, and I run back, and I'm like, dude. I pick up a bunch of orders and I was like, oh shit, I forgot this person's soup. And I ran over and I filled up the thing of soup. I grabbed the thing of crackers. My hands were full. So I put it in my fucking mouth and just, I didn't even think about it. I just was like, put it in my mouth and I carried all the food, everything out to the table with the crackers in my mouth. And then I took the crackers out of my mouth and set them on the table. And my manager saw me from across the room. I was gone, dude. They fired me like on the spot, bro. He's like, I'm sorry, man. He's like, I like you, but you cannot do that. You cannot carry food to somebody's table in your mouth and then leave it for them.
You trying to baby bird them? Mama bird them, bro?
Oh, bro. And it was so, I mean.
Was the table looking at you funny? Did you catch any of that?
No, they did. I don't know that they noticed it at all. You know what I mean? I don't think. Oh, I'm sure you would have. And they probably did. I didn't know because I never got to go back to the table and ask them how the rest of their meal was.
Did they see you like sad walk out of the place? Like,
I'm sure.
Before like, their meal was over? Like, did our server get fired mid meal?
Can you imagine you're at dinner and your server comes back and then halfway through, like, it's not like, oh hey, this is Sarah, she's gonna be covering me while I'm on break. It's just like a completely different server. how do they explain that? But yeah, dude, like, oh bro. And like to this day, my friends still tease me about that. They still like, give me shit about that. But yeah, that was fucking classic. Such a funny
I got fired when I worked at the bank when I was 18 years old. Because they thought I gave away $1,000. So, did I ever tell you about that?
No.
The local bank had a program where they wanted to bring in high school employees and they made me a teller, right? But I was a teller in the fucking walk-up, right? So, like, if people didn't want to go into the main bank, right? And they didn't have a car to go through the drive-through, right?
Yeah.
They had the walk-up option, right? And so a lot of it's me and sometimes someone else, and I'm behind like fucking 2 inches of bulletproof glass, you know? And like, so like I had a lot of like landscapers cashing checks and like a couple of quirky customers, right? It's never as busy as ever. Like you had to count your drawer out at the end of every shift, right? So yeah. The shift, like it said, I gave away like, you know, like a couple pennies here or there, or like $1, $2 off. Like there's, that always happens, right? This is $1,000, you know? And one of the other tellers was up $1,000, right? And I'm like, well, maybe we did like a transfer or something. Like maybe, like, you know, maybe we did something, we just didn't fucking think about it, right? And so like the manager of the bank sat me down and was like, look, man, like if you have any more mistakes within the next 6 months, we're going to have to fire you. And I was like, but like the bank didn't lose any money. I'm like, no customers came in and said, hey, I fucking did not get all my money, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I mean, obviously, if a bank gives out $1,000, you ain't saying shit. But
yeah,
so, yeah, nobody would fucking say shit on that. So I was like, okay. And then like fucking like 2 weeks later, I had fucked up and I did give out $100 to a customer and an extra $100. And, you know, we got fucking new bills. Sometimes they fucking stick together,
Sticky bills, yeah.
You know, bank error in your favor.
That's what we're going to call you now.
And I cried, dude.
You cry? How old were you?
I was like 18.
Oh, wow.
I thought I'd never get hired again, man. She's like, hey, you know. And I liked the job, even though I spent most of my time working through a mental plan on if shit went sideways, how I could rob that bank, right? Like, I was just game. Like, when I'd be bored, man, and nobody else to talk to, you know, I didn't have like a fucking cell phone to fucking flip through, or you know, the internet wasn't really a thing. So I would just sit there and be like, I could rob this place.
I went through like
all the logistics of it, man. I had a whole detailed plan. My plan would be, right? at Friday at lunch, okay, when the bank had the most amount of money. It was like a little drive-through that was separate from the main building, right?
Okay, you know? Yeah.
And I was like, look, I'm like, on a Friday, they have the most cash in there, right? I'm like, dude, it's got to be like fucking close to $500,000 in there. Because they needed enough cash out there because it had extended hours in this little outbuilding drive-through thing, right?
For cash checking?
A lot of people get them cash their checks over the weekend.
Yeah.
And then the main bank was closed, right? So it needed a lot of cash, you know, just to get they got hit like they had to do. So I'm like, dude, Friday at noon, I'm like, when the first time a fucking teller leaves to go to lunch, I'm going to slip in, right? I'm going to make them go into the basement, right? Because this little thing had a basement. I'm going to rip the phone out of the wall. Okay. Yeah. I was like, then I'm going to take all the cash. Somebody's going to come through the drive-thru. I'm going to hop in their car, and we're going to fucking get out of there. Like, no problem, right? They didn't have, like, fucking buzzers underneath the desk that they're getting robbed in the outbuilding, right? It wasn't like the normal teller thing. And I was like, but then I was like, how would I get away? I'm like, got it, right? I would fucking have a boat waiting for me at the boat ramp, right? And I was driving to the boat ramp, okay? Get the boat and drive the boat to Michigan. And then from Michigan, I would fucking take a car to Canada and I'd be gone.
Dude, hold on.
It was a great day.
No. I'm not done. Did my sign come off, the on-air sign? Did it fall off?
That's the shittiest sign you've ever made, bro.
God damn it. What do you need?
Stone as fuck, his kids are yelling at him. I've been there.
Hey, I need like 10 minutes. What do you need? You don't need nothing?
Bubbles like this? You want vibes to step in?
I'm almost done.
I'd come at them, bro, if I wasn't
Oh, my gosh. She came out here for nothing, she said. She just came out to come out. The problem is my sign fell off. I'm not going to disparage the fine tape company that I used to hold the sign up with. But
Well, they probably would ask you if you washed the door off and made it a nice service to adhere to.
Which I did not. I just stuck it up there. And I only used a tiny little strip. Anyways. That's
robbing a bank.
Yeah, I know. I remember now. I was going to ask you about, before she walked out, I was going to say, were there cameras? Would you have been worried about cameras?
There was one camera, but the fucking recorder was in the basement. So I would just fucking rip the tape out of the wall, you know?
Oh, in the basement of where you were?
Yeah.
Oh, there was a basement to this place too? Holy moly. Yeah,
that's where I was going to hide all the tellers when I robbed the place.
Got it. That's where you're going to put it. I was confused. Well, you know,
it was a solid plan.
You might have gotten away. Was this the Chicago River you were thinking?
No, was it near Lake Michigan, bro?
Oh, it was near the lake. Okay,
dude, I was in Highland Park, man. It would have been a 5 minute ride to the boat dock, right?
Yeah, dude, I'm watching a lot of Ozark right now. So right now, I'm picturing you. I'm picturing now that in my head, you like robbing this bank and then going down. And you've seen that show, right? We talked about that.
I don't think I could live a criminal lifestyle, man. You know, you think about it sometimes, but like I would never do any of that. I would be horrible in prison. So I would not enjoy prison.
Prison would not be fun. Oh, man.
I don't need that kind of intimacy in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So are we going to try and do this again in Vegas?
If you got the time, I got the microphone, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah, if I can get away, because Saturday I'll be flying, so it won't work Saturday morning like normal. But we can try and do another one like maybe after work on one of the nights I'm there. We can do this thing. We can do this joinery after dark again.
Yeah, baby.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up, dude. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. All right, motherfucker. Let's go, baby. Let's thank some patrons. You motherfuckers are giving us money to keep doing this shit. Keep that in mind. Thank you to Kyle Foot for the footwork. All right. Kyle Foot for the footwork. Woodworks.
That's right.
Gerard for the wooden moustache. Now giving free rides. Well, he's still giving free rides. Lee Oman from Old Man Street. Big Mike Holmes from Broken Lead Woodworks. Dave, One Grit Wort from the Rustic Joy. Man, it's getting harder, man. I'm starting to get higher. The Rustic Joy Woodworks. My mom, Elise Gelman. Tim from Dirt Works. He is a patron. David the Thriller Miller. You see what I did there for you?
See that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some respect. Like a bunch of hairy M's taped to your face. Billy Estes from the Simple Wood Wood Co. Corey Stanley from Odyssey CNC. The unofficial lube of the podcast, Eric from Humble Shoots.
Yeah.
Dude, I tell you, I spent like an afternoon just coming up with alternate names for Bumble Shoots.
Yeah, Bumble Sharts.
Bumble Sharts. I feel like I have the Bumble Sharts right now.
I can tell.
Alan from Desert Grain Woodworks. Change your account name, bro. Something jazzier. The Collarwood Canoe Company. Don't know if that guy's live. Grant from Dad Crafted. Ryder from Ryder's Custom Creations. Jason Sullivan from JM Sullivan Toolworks and Toolmax. He was hit me up yesterday talking about
thanks for the boat. He brought me a boat. He sent me a boat.
What?
Yeah, he sent me a little boat from Newfoundland. It's like this cool little boat, man. It's pretty bitchin'.
Dude, I don't know if I can find a rope podcast. Newfoundland? Well, that's not how it's said.
Newfoundland? Newfoundland?
I can't.
I don't know.
Kamani from Ben Stray Designs. The fine folks at PL Smith. PL and PL. Otis from Pine and Elite Woodworks. Did he just pop up? Was he missing?
He changed his name. It's now like So Camping Adventure something.
What?
Something.
Please tell me it's long as fuck. He just came up with a new logo.
Yeah, he changed the name of his account. It's like Adventures and Camping and something. I don't know what it's called.
OG Shop Adventures?
There it is. OG Shop Adventures. That was close.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? That's fine.
I think he said he's not going to be doing just woodworking stuff anymore. So he's going to be doing other things.
I mean, after that video of him crashing his mountain bike, I hope so. Yeah. Taste the biscuit. Oh my God. Jack Mehoff from Nick Prim Woodworking.
Thanks, Mr. Mehoff.
Yeah, Jack Mehoff. Judd Divins and Sons, your Campfire Apocalypse BFF, Justin from Campfire Woodworks. Dude, I love that he goes in. I love that Nick Brim goes in there and changes his shit up, man. I'm bored. I'm just going to fuck with the joinery. I love it. Tracy from Matt and Tracy Woodworks. Ben from Wheelwood Designs. And Don Patterson from What's Next Woodworking.
Hey, I was thinking about a segment. What would you guys think about doing? Thank you guys, first off, for being our patrons. We love you and we appreciate you. And if you want to be a fine patron of this podcast, there's a link at the bottom of every episode. Go ahead and click it and you can decide how you want to support us. And we love you guys for that. And also go out and share this thing, man. Share this everywhere. We're trying to grow this community and build it. And that's what we think of you guys, is our family and our community. So let's make it bigger, man. That's all we can do is grow. But what do you guys think about a new segment called Ask Luke? And I haven't even asked Luke about it. But I think it'd be funny for you guys to send in.
How high are you?
I think it'd be fun for you guys to send in like audio questions, and I can, you know, play them on the podcast, or we can like splice them in somehow. I don't know. We can figure that out. But I think that'd be a funny thing. You could ask Luke anything, basically. It'd be funny. I don't know.
Good luck with that.
Man. All right, man. Let's go. We love you guys. See you next week.
See you next week.
Live from Vegas.
Take it away, Tim. Taste the biscuits.
I annoyed you in this podcast. How is that possible?
I'm not annoyed.
right,
still bye. Edibles kicking in. I'm losing mental capacity by the second. I think I forgot I had to poop.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what level are you?
I don't know. Basically, I think I went back down to zero.
Go Niners, baby! Woo!
Hopefully, your team does sufficient.
Bye, guys.
Enjoy that. All right.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.